Listen to this Ross report for all the updates. Welcome back to the Patriots Ross Report podcast, an official podcast of the New England Patriots. I'm Lori Baranski, and it's Friday, May 18th, right here at Gillette Stadium. We have Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale giving you all the latest reports on Junior Seau.
Thanks, Lori. Well, not a lot going on this week around Gillette Stadium. However, a couple of veterans making some news. Junior Seau, linebacker, obviously had a great year last year with the Patriots, surprising some. Stories out of San Diego indicate, guys, that he's ready to return possibly as early as this week. Some of the reports indicated he was here taking a physical this week, and it was as simple as that type of a formality. We have no official word. What does this mean? Good move, bad move? How do you guys feel about it?
I think it's a good move. I think it's a move we talked about all along post-draft. If they hadn't picked up a couple guys that we thought could contribute, that they would revisit this Seau situation. You know, Jim Trotter continues to break as much news in New England as any New England beat reporter.
Jim Trotter is one of the best, and he's not even a beat writer anymore.
Right, he's very close with these guys, Rodney and Seau, and the guys he covered.
Does a great job with the specific players.
So I think I think it's a kind of like the Moss situation, a no lose situation. In all hope, you're bringing him in to perform the role you thought you had last year, which is just be a rotational backup guy, because you should have your four starters, and then he can just fill in. And as you said, surprised me as much as anyone. I thought he would be a bad fit for the system, and I didn't think he'd hold up. And I don't think he broke down. I mean, a broken arm is
broken
a freak
arm is
thing. That's
than,
not
yeah.
getting worn down as an old guy. I thought he played as well as any linebacker on this team early in the season, as consistent as any linebacker. So I think it's a no-lose move.
Tom, can they get a three-man rotation going with one of those three entering his 18th season?
I think they're going to have to, because I don't think either player can go the whole season playing without getting worn down, like Andy said. I agree with you. I don't think Seau got worn down, but I think if he had continued to start,
right,
maybe week 15,
probably
16, like we kind of saw Brewski a little bit towards the end of the year. But if they can get three guys on the field,
well, that's the key. If you can get him to rotate, so while he plays 16 games, the wear and tear is maybe similar to a 10-game schedule, because he's rotating through, taking two-thirds of the plays. I think that's an ideal situation. As I said, the fit was fine. I mean, I thought he would struggle as a, quote, freelancer.
He
fit
well
in fine.
Yeah, and let's remember, in the Patriots, well, actually in all systems, I was going to say in the Patriots system, the linebackers aren't necessarily asked to play all three downs.
Right.
And I don't think you're going to see guys like Junior Seau out there, every play. Maybe a guy like Brewski in his prime was a complete three-down linebacker, but there aren't many of those guys. There's a lot of specialization. I would imagine we're going to see Adalys Thomas on the field.
What about Eric Alexander? You think he'll be in the... No, I'm being serious.
I think he'll be in the mix.
But, and that's what I wanted to get to, and that's why I asked the question the way I did to you, Tom, about the three-man rotation. If you choose to have it be Brewski, Seau, Vrabel inside, is it Colvin, Thomas, and who outside? Or is it Vrabel, Thomas, Colvin outside, Seau, Brewski, and who inside?
Or is it just Vrabel wherever?
If you're looking for two three-man rotations, who out of the group of, say, Alexander that Tom brought up, Pierre Woods, Corey Mays, you name your
Alexander. I think he's the guy because of the knowledge of the system and the fact that Bill liked him enough to throw him out there. While I think that was a terrible coaching move at the time to throw him out on a big stage like that for his first career start, we've all seen it over the preseasons. This guy can run around, make tackles, make some plays. Now maybe if you get him acclimated to the system in week one instead of week 19 or 18, whatever it was, I think maybe he can contribute. The only question I have, and we talked about this last year, is confidence. Where is his – because he was – very much distraught after that game, because he was sort of the guy everybody was pointing at, and I think he was pointing his own finger at for really hurting them at times on defense. I just wonder where his head's going to be.
That's about as bad as I've ever felt going to one individual after a game, but just to kind of illustrate that, how down he was after that game.
And I think Andy's first point is correct. I think you're going to see like Thomas and Vrabel, do a lot of different things. I think you see him inside. I think you'll see him outside. I'm not sure how much Eric Alexander is going to get in. I think he might have a bigger role than last year, but I think more of the taking the veterans and switching them around at different positions is what you're going to see, because I think Bill's got that new toy now with Adalys Thomas, and he can do a lot of different things.
I think Thomas is capable of doing that. I think we've seen Vrabel take a step back in the last year and a half, and my question is, if he's rotating inside, outside, bouncing around, does he ever get the benefits of the rotation? You know what I'm saying? If he's moving from inside then to outside on certain downs, well, that means he's playing 75, 80, 90% of the downs. And I just wonder if at this point in his career, if he's still capable of doing all that, or you're putting too much on his plate.
Yeah, no, it's a good question because we saw Vrabel in 2005. He seemed he was on that same path outside, making the plays, coming up with a pick here or there, you know, making big plays that we've been accustomed to Mike Vrabel. Then he went inside and predictably was steady but not as spectacular as maybe he had been outside. Last year, when he went back outside, we didn't see as many of those big plays that he had become known for. And you wonder if maybe that's a combination of him moving around so much, has maybe stunted a little bit of his playmaking ability, or just
age, wear,
you know,
and tear.
Just, you know, the attrition of 8, 9, 10 NFL seasons. You know, at some point, we've seen it with Brewski. You know, he's slowed down a little bit, so you wonder where Vrabel is in that point of his career.
And it's going to be a story. I mean, people are going to be keeping an eye on the linebackers because everybody knows they're old. Everybody knows they didn't draft, you know, go high in the draft to bring a young guy in. It's going to be one of those stories that people focus on, right or wrong. You know, if the defense struggles early in the year, people are going to be saying, well, is Brewski too old? Is Vrabel too old? You know, that's going to be one of those focal points that people look at. Now, if they come out and they're allowing 7 points a game and making all these plays, people won't, you know, notice it. But if they struggle at all, I think people are really going to point to linebacker.
Okay, another interesting point that kind of came up here late in the week, not necessarily roster-related, but Jarvis Green appeared yesterday on a local radio station, ESPN Boston, with Mike Felger, talked about one Randy Moss.
By the way, a story first broken on PFW in Progress.
Okay.
For anyone who listened to PFW in Progress, they were made well aware that Randy Moss was in town with his teammates.
Well, I had a hard time getting past a lot of other stuff on that show. But anyway, the fact that Moss was here on Wednesday, surprising to you guys at all?
No.
That he would be here? Based on the way Bill talked,
no.
I didn't get the impression that he would be around until minicamp.
I'm
a little surprised, yeah. I'll be honest with you.
I'm not, because I'm sure he has some things, as Bill said, on his calendar that, you know, were set long before he was a Patriot. But I just think, again, maybe I'm naive, but I think you're going to see this whole honeymoon of a season. And I think that starts with him being here when maybe people said, I don't expect him to be here. And I think that'll go right on through the year.
Well, I'm not saying it from Moss's end. I'm with Paul, though. The way Bill said it.
Yeah, that's what I'm basing it on.
He doesn't paint himself in the corner like Paul always says. And it seemed like he had other obligations that he had to attend to.
See, I think that's him lowering expectations.
In retrospect, I think I agree with you.
I think that's lowering expectations. That's a preemptive strike so that
if he's
everybody's
not around,
surprised.
No one's going to be surprised that he's not around.
But now it's a pat on Moss's back. Wow, you see how early he's here?
Yeah,
right.
I think that's another one of those where Bill played.
I agree with you. I thought he would be here for the golf tournament and then into minicamp, and we'd go on to training camp. Don't get me wrong, I don't want to make it sound like I thought he was going to be a problem, because I agree with you, Andy. I do think this is going to be a honeymoon season. Randy Moss is going to be here because he wants to be here, and he hasn't probably wanted to be anywhere for a long time. So I think this is going to be a good situation for the Patriots. But I was I'm with Tom here. Based on Bill's comments after the trade was made, I'm a little surprised that he was here as early as he was. But, you know, it's not a huge deal either way. We're only talking about, a week and a half here, 2 weeks, you know, before he was going to have to be here anyway. And I certainly wasn't getting into what the Randy Moss usually does talk. You know, he usually works out in Florida. Well, so what?
Right.
You know, what is that? I don't really understand why that's a big deal. In terms of the makeup of the roster here, a couple of minor moves as we wrap this podcast up. They had rookie minicamp completed last week, had some tryouts in. One of them was Denny Poland, the kid from Air Force, and the other kid, I believe, is a wide receiver, Tom,
Chris Dunlap from Georgia Tech,
a little-used wide receiver, barely cracked double digits for career
13
receptions.
13 career
any receptions. Any impressions? They signed both of those guys, Tom. Any impressions at all on you from rookie minicamp?
It was hard to tell at minicamp. It really was, because they really weren't doing anything. I mean, Dunlap, he was the only receiver there on Sunday. Him and Chris Baker from Rutgers were there.
The touchdown maker?
Yeah. But they were there the first day. He was running some shorter routes. It was hard to get an idea. Here's my theory on it. He's not making the team in any capacity.
Well, yeah,
a solid theory, I think.
That's a solid theory to go
now,
on. I didn't know if maybe the guy was big, small. Maybe he stuck out for, you know,
not really.
Blazing
just,
speed that might be a practice squad stuffer.
They did so little passing drills. They basically did like 7-yard you know, drills where he'd go 7 yards and Gutierrez would hit him. It was nothing, you know, he hung on to the ball. He wasn't dropping the football.
Right.
And Denny Poland is a little interesting. I know Bill spent a lot of time talking with him, like, during the stretching and stuff. You know, he showed some things, some quick feet in the drills. But, again, they weren't really doing a lot to get a good impression. But I thought it was interesting that Bill, both days before the practices started, was over talking with him and, like, laughing and joking around with him.
Respects those military guys.
Absolutely. And the one final note before we leave, Justin Warren, linebacker out of Texas A&M, was let go. So evidently
hardly knew ye.
Yeah, he wasn't able to get on the field during that rookie minicamp. He spent the 2 days, the bulk of the 2 days anyway, on the practice bike. I think he started practice on Saturday.
Yeah,
Tom,
he started
right?
practice on Saturday. He practiced for about 15-20 minutes, and then it was on the bike. And Sunday he was on the bike the whole time. He was running on the sidelines before he went on the bike on Saturday and kind of like stretching his leg a little bit.
Yeah.
So it might have been a hamstring or a groin.
And
there.
I believe Mike Reese had in his blog that he failed a physical, and that was the reason he was let go.
One last note on truly the roster, truly the piece of paper that is the roster.
Sure.
The Randy Moss number situation. There's a hope within the organization that it'll come to a head at some point in the next couple of weeks. He wants to wear 18, 84, or 88, all three of which are spoken for. Those are the numbers he's worn in the past, Oakland, Minnesota, and Marshall. And interestingly, in the Boston Globe today, a little interview with Benjamin Watson, he lightheartedly said he's open to negotiations on 84, which we've all sort of alluded to that as a smart businessman,
yeah.
If the price is right, he'd sell it.
Absolutely.
They're hoping.
Takes 82. He does it as an homage to his old buddy, Daniel
Love
Graham.
Love Daniel Graham, and
Love
I make
Daniel
some
Graham.
Money.
And I'm going to make an extra,
Right,
$30,000 on the side,
whatever it is. So that situation should hopefully come to a head in the next couple of weeks.
So you say 84?
I think 84 has a strong chance. I think Watson's smart. I would do the same thing. And those of you who have pre-ordered or looking to order a Moss jersey, you should have an idea what the number is in the next week or two.
All right, good roster talk right there to end it up. We're going to put a wrap on this one. Back to you, Lori.
Thanks, guys. That's all for today. Remember to keep checking Patriots.com for all your latest Patriots information. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!